Hey, Ruby Ryder here. Welcome to Pegging Paradise podcast number 215. On September 4th, 2018, changing the world one ass at a time. If you would like to support my efforts to deconstruct the myths and misconceptions around pegging and offer accurate information to all who seek it, head on over to Patreon and become a patron of my work. All patrons have access to the podcast a day early, as well as a 24/7 chat channel full of pegging practitioners from all over the world. Rewards for the various levels of support include written and audio erotica to excite and inspire. Just go to patreon.com/rubyrider, or you can click the Support My Work button on my website. Another way to support my work is shop at enticeme.com, the little black dress of pleasure products. EnticeMe offers a carefully curated selection of luxury, body-safe, and non-toxic toys for your enjoyment and pleasure. Just go to enticeme.com, #RubyRider, and for 15% off of your entire purchase, use the coupon code RIDER, that's RYDER. If you'd like assistance figuring out which pegging equipment is the best choice for you, I offer free equipment phone consultations for customers of EnticeMe. You will be supporting my efforts to change hearts and minds about pegging. First thing I want to thank everybody for is all the purchases through EnticeMe. Speaking of EnticeMe, I had my best month ever. Tiffany was thrilled to let me know. And this is a really big deal because, I mean, we've had sales, we've had all kinds of stuff before that kind of crank up the sales through EnticeMe. I think what's happening is the webinars. I'm really happy about the whole structure of offering all of that information for free and yet still managing to monetize it a little bit to keep all of this going. And because when I teach the webinars, I always offer budget options for those people who are in situations that require budget options. But I also have all the links going to EnticeMe for all the toys. You can go look at them, check out the brand, shop for a cheaper price if you want. But I think a fair amount of you who have taken the webinars are shopping there. And as well, I think I've done a number of podcasts in the last month that were kind of equipment heavy. You know, all the questions that I answered and all the links that I put up there, really, there were a lot of them. So it gave you a bunch of opportunities to shop, didn't it? So thank you to everybody. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Everything helps. It's just so awesome, and it really helps me do all this, keep it going, and have a little bit of ease when the bills come and the rent comes and stuff like that. And like I said before, I'm about to the point right now where Patreon and commissions from EnticeMe pretty much cover my rent. Doesn't happen every month, and I lost some people on Patreon, so, you know, there's a fluctuation every month, but it's almost there, so it's pretty damn cool. Quite happy about that. So the first thing that I want to read you is a lovely comment on my podcast number 112. You know, I talk about this podcast all the time because it's so instrumental in helping givers understand what pegging's all about. And here's a comment on that podcast itself. Podcast number 112 is proof that Ruby is the almighty queen of pegging. I've been listening to her for over a year now, but just today got around to listening to this particular podcast. Despite not having any immediate prospects, I figured it wouldn't hurt to know how she approached the subject with women. Maybe I could pick up a few pointers on how to sell the idea should that delightful opportunity arise. Well, there's no need for me to do the selling. I'll just grab their cell phone, pull up the web browser, type in the link to this podcast, and ask them to listen. I can think of at least one instance in my life when this resource would have helped. It would not have changed the outcome of the relationship, but at least we would have parted ways without her thinking I was a closeted gay freakazoid. Not that there's anything wrong with that. Over and above her warm and smooth delivery of the well-organized flow of facts and information on pegging, repeatedly she stresses something more important. That is this. Whether or not you think pegging is something you would enjoy with your partner, as a couple, You must be willing to talk about and explore those things in your life that bring you pleasure and joy, without regard to what society and popular opinion thinks. If you are a woman who has been asked to listen to this podcast, know that your man has placed an extraordinary amount of faith in you to see and hopefully accept his hidden hunger. He thinks so much of you that he would risk shame and disgust from his partner rather than keep this a secret from you. Know what an honor to you this is. With that spirit in mind, listen to what Ms. Ruby has to say. Wow. Thank you. I appreciate all of that feedback. I love that podcast, and I am so glad that it came out the way that it did, that it has been such a wonderful resource for those people exploring pegging. So I appreciate all your kind words, sir, and the comment that you left there on the podcast. And I wanted to share that with all the listeners who perhaps are like you and have not gone there and listened to that particular podcast, whether because they don't have the need or weren't curious enough or what have you. So yes, thanks again. Here's a question I got on FetLife. Hello, Ruby. I've always heard that rimming a woman and then switching to cunnilingus is bad because the bacteria in the anal region should not be introduced to the vulva. However, I've never heard the analogous recommendation for men. So I wonder if it's okay health-wise for a man to receive a blowjob after having been rimmed. This comes up as a logistic issue during anal play for me. My partner goes alternating between rimming and fellating me, and so I wonder if this practice is safe. I know your recommendations for safe rimming. We are monogamous, healthy individuals and clean up before rimming, and we use no barriers. Okay, so here's the deal with the rimming thing. The reason that it's much more important to practice the not going from one to the other with women is because the urethra, meaning the distance that bladder go and then the urine comes out of the body, the urethra, that's what the tube is called that carries the urine out of the body, is much, much shorter, okay? So UTIs happen a whole lot more easily with women. With men, you've got that long old tube that goes down your penis, in the middle of your penis, and it goes through the prostate too, first of all. And that is why men tend to get UTIs a whole lot less than women. However, they still can. So I don't think it happens very often, but if you wanted to be really, really careful about it, you would practice those same principles. And you said you didn't use any barriers, but if you wanted to go back and forth and you really enjoy that kind of action of her rimming you and then fellating you, you could just use a dental dam for the rimming because those sheets of latex are so thin and so stretchy that I swear you could almost not even tell the difference when you're receiving the rimming if you put a nice thing of lube between the barrier and the ass, okay? So that's one suggestion, but I just wanted you to know a little bit about the physiology and why they don't emphasize that nearly as much. Because when you think about it, if you as a owner of a penis are having anal sex without protection, boy, that is about as good of a chance as you can give your body to try and shove the wrong kind of bacteria up the urethra of the penis and it might get to the bladder, right? And I was cruising around on Reddit and I did find some information. A couple of guys wrote and said, hey, I had like the worst bladder infection ever. So it is a possibility, but I don't think it happens very often at all. If you want to experiment with that, he should do the exact same thing they tell women to do after sex, is go pee after sex, because that urine will wash the bacteria out of the urethra and out of the body, and that way it won't cause a UTI. Or any other infection. So that's the best information that I have for you. I don't have a specific yes or no. It's more like it hardly ever happens. So if you want to take the chance, then go for it. Or you can use the dental dams. Thanks for the question. And have fun with all of that rimming and fellating. Okay, here is my next letter. This, you know, I don't even want to call this a letter. This is a bizarre message I got that I'm going to read you guys because it just gave me such a chuckle. As you can imagine, I receive all kinds of different messages from people and letters, and you know, I've read you a few over the years. Here's another winner. And you know, you can catch the sarcasm in my voice. This is from a man named Zach, and the subject says, "You are a fucking trans man." Okay. The message body says, "I saw your videos and your hips are narrow and your face is manlike. No one wants to get pegged by a trans man. Where are real women peggers?" I don't even know where to start with this one, you guys. I really don't. I copied the email to read to you here, but I didn't copy my response. I believe what I responded was LMAO, which is laughing my ass off. "I don't have any videos, you asshat." And then I put bye-bye, and I blocked him. So, I don't know, I find that vastly entertaining. It's like, who the hell's videos was he watching? Because I don't have any videos. But I've been working out at the gym a lot, and I thought, oh, my hips are narrow. Oh, that sounds lovely. I've been losing some weight, and I thought, oh, narrow hips. It would not be the first time that someone has looked at a picture of me, which clearly he didn't, but you know, stick with me on this. Would not be the first time someone mistook me for the wrong gender, because when I go to a local munch, which is a BDSM meeting of kinky people, it's just called a munch because that's what they decide to call it. I'm not sure why, but it just means a public social meeting of a bunch of kinky people. Well, they meet at the lovely gay bar in Ventura. It's an awesome place, and people are all so friendly. And I'm 5'10", barefoot. I used to be 5'11", but you know how that thing happens when you get older and you kind of shrink a little bit. I actually was 5'10 and 3/4", and I always used to call myself 5'11". Yeah, well, now I'm 5'10". Anyway, that's still really tall for a woman, so when I put heels on, I'm really tall and rather in, you know, I cut a rather imposing figure, shall I say. And so I get some attention at the gay bar sometimes because they really think that I'm a man who's cross-dressed or a trans man. I'm not sure which, but it doesn't really matter. I just take the compliments and say thank you. Thank you very much. It's not like they say, oh my God, you could pass so easily. They never say anything that blatant. They just admire my style, and I get some attention sometimes. So I'm quite sure that they think that I am not the gender that I really am, and I don't really care. So, Zach, buddy, I don't know what porn you're watching. I do know that there's a cam girl out there that calls herself Ruby Ryder. She's in the UK. One of these days, I'm going to, I'm going to copyright this name and ask her to choose another one. But it's not like she's impersonating me. She doesn't look anything like me. So I don't really care. But I'm not sure what porn this guy is watching. But Zach, you know, fuck you about your bad attitude about trans men. Trans men fucking rock. And if you don't want to get pegged by a trans man, fucking fine. But don't talk about them like they're not cool people. Because that is such a not okay thing to do in my world. Which is why you got the bye-bye. All right, let's move on to a real letter instead of a stupid message. All right, here we go. This was posted on the forum, and the title of it is After the Fun is Over. Hi Ruby, my name is Eric, and this is my first time on this website or forum. Okay, this question goes out to the guys. My wife gave it to me real good last night, repeatedly pounded my ass. Absolutely felt amazing. I felt like I could come, but it never happened, not even pre-cum. I have two questions. One, why can't I come from just getting pounded? Why did I have to jerk off, too? Question 2, it's been almost 2 days now, and I haven't been able to use the restroom like normal. Mostly mucus and some blood. Is this normal, and is there anything I can do to prevent this feeling next time? I'm really enjoying my wife giving it to me with the strap on. Is the aftermath worth the pleasure? Goodness sakes. Okay, let's start off with your first question. Why can't you come from just getting pounded? Why do you have to jerk off too? So when I teach my pegging class, one of the things that I remind everybody is that the G-spot and the prostate have a ton of things in common. Just like there are many, many women out there who cannot come from penetration alone, they need to have clitoral stimulation. Same, same, dude. I mean, the prostate and the G-spot have the same tissue in a fetus before it differentiates to gender-wise, male or female. That's the same tissue, and when it differentiates gender-wise, it either becomes the prostate or the G-spot. So there's a ton of things it has in common. Nobody's done any studies, really, more or really, really accurate studies about prostate orgasms and how to, you know, how many guys have them, how many can. I am just actually assuming that because there are so many other similarities to the G-spot, that the same principles would apply. I believe the percentage of women who can orgasm from penetration alone is about 30%. So I think about 30% of men can orgasm from just getting pegged, from prostate stimulation alone. Now, are there things that can encourage a prostate orgasm? Absolutely. Here they are. First, abstinence. So don't have any sex for a while. You know, depending on how often you jerk off, how often you are used to having an orgasm, restrict that for a while and do not have any orgasms. And on top of that, edge. What does edging mean? That means you're going to masturbate, but you're going to bring yourself right to the brink and not let yourself come, which requires some self-discipline. Perhaps your partner can help with that. So those two things help. Relaxation is a huge part of it. And I'm also going to give you a link to a podcast where I read this guy. I found he had done this description of how to give himself a prostate orgasm. As with many things sexual, sometimes if you learn how to do that response and encourage that response in your own body yourself, it is much easier to then have it translate into, oh, she's fucking me and that familiar feeling is happening and all that. There appears to be, at least from this young man's perspective, an emotional component that made it so that for him it was important to get relaxed and sort of treat it like a date and do foreplay with himself and have music playing and that kind of thing. So just take all those things into consideration and start experimenting on your own and see if maybe you can get yourself there. And then I'll bet it would be much easier for you to be with your partner and guide her to fuck you in a way that is similar to what you were able to bring yourself to an orgasm by yourself, if you get what I mean. So, there you go. Those are the suggestions that I have for reaching a prostate orgasm. Oh, and there's one more. That is to clench your anal sphincter. It's kind of like at a certain point, if you clench your anal sphincter, it just intensifies all of the pleasure. I have heard this as well. Now, how do you tell what point that is? I'm not really sure, but experiment with that as well. So let go of the goal-oriented approach, enjoy yourself, and it's quite possible that if you relax and enjoy the pleasure enough, that you will have a prostate orgasm anyway and you won't have to jerk off. You know, practice, have fun, but let go of the goal. Maybe you'll get there, maybe you won't, and if you don't, it's totally okay because you love it and it feels really good and it's a great source of pleasure. Now, let's move on to your second question. You use the word pounded you repeatedly, and then you're talking about mucus and some blood. So, this is concerning to me, of course. The prostate is a gland, and so there is an extent to which you need to have respect for it and not treat it badly. And this is an interesting position to be in to talk about this because, I mean, we've all seen the videos where absolutely someone is getting their ass just fucking pounded. Well, you know, we weren't there after the porn clip ends, and we don't know if there was any blood, and we don't really know what that person's going to the bathroom was like for the next couple of days. I would say, if there's blood, back it off a little bit. Do it a little softer. There are other options. Rather than getting pounded really hard, you could choose perhaps a dildo for texture, or you could have one that had waves in it. You could check out the ones that have a curve that target that prostate really well, like the Tantus curve. You could try something like that as opposed to just slamming it in there. Because I do think, I'm cautious type, I really am, and so I do think that especially if it's been 2 days and you haven't been able to use the restroom like normal, it's interesting, you don't say that's peeing or having bowel movements. You don't really differentiate there. I'm thinking it's probably bowel movements. If it's peeing and there's blood in it, then we've got a real problem because that's not good. But either way, blood is a bad sign. I'm pretty sure you mean you haven't been able to have a bowel movement and there's blood and a little mucus. So back off of it a little bit. Make it a little less intense next time. Another option that you can try is try getting a toy that has vibrations in it. That might be something that will crank up the intensity a little bit as opposed to, like I said, just getting freaking pounded. I know that can feel really good sometimes. I know there are men who love that. But pay attention to your body, respect the ass, and back it off a bit. And I'm going to put a link to the Tantus Curve. And I'm also going to put a link to a couple of prostate toys that have vibes in them. I know that, you know, the whole part that's really awesome is the fucking part. So I'm trying to think of things that you can put into a harness and use that way. You also might want to go check out Bad Dragon's offerings. Remember the last podcast, and if you didn't listen to it, what I'm referencing here is a guy mentioned that basically the difference between the slick silicone and the other one that it was like veiny and sort of more realistic was the texture, and the texture just drove him wild. It was totally awesome. He loved the feeling of texture. You are not going to get better texture than if you go shop at Bad Dragon, because they've got it all. Plus, you can choose how firm that silicone's going to be. So, yeah, there you go. You don't mention also what size toys. So if you're really pushing the diameter and, you know, the width of it, the girth, then maybe back off on that a little bit as well. Yeah, that's pretty much all I have to say. Just take it easy, dude. No bleeding, please. Because it's absolutely possible to get your brains fucked out and not see blood afterwards. You know, so I'm thinking maybe the line was stepped over just a little bit, which is why you got that. So mellow it out and see what happens next time. There shouldn't be a price to pay, really, other than a slightly sore asshole, maybe, but that's pretty much it. So, okay. Let us know how it goes and how your future escapades go in the department of not having a price to pay afterwards. Thanks for the question. So this is as good a time as any. In fact, it's a great time to tell you about an upcoming interview I've got scheduled that I'm really excited about. This is an interview with Ashley Manta. Let me read you from her website who she is and what she's about. Ashley Manta has become a sought-after authority on mindfully combining sex and cannabis as part of her Canisexual brand. As a professional sex educator and coach, she helps people navigate these topics to make sure they are interacting, loving, and feeling their best in and out of the bedroom. So we've been talking about prostate orgasms. I touched a little bit a few podcasts ago about getting high. And of course, the topic comes up of using cannabis products in a way to facilitate better pegging, right? And there's been some chat that's been happening on the chat channel. Here's another incentive to join the 24/7 chat channel and become a patron of mine. Yes, there's a lot of talk about pot that's happening there, about making your own lube, about using the relaxed suppositories and what happens, all kinds of different things about what encourages relaxation and a higher degree of responsiveness regarding prostate stimulation. So there you go. So I am going to interview Ashley on Monday, September 24th. So you've got until then to send in any questions you might be wondering about regarding combining any cannabis products at all with pegging and anal sex and that type of stuff. So send those questions in. I'll make sure that I ask Ashley during the interview, assuming that nothing interferes with the schedule. That podcast will be posted on October 2nd. So that is something to look forward to. If you want to read up a little bit more about it, I'm going to have a post in the upcoming podcast link, and that's on my podcast on the right-hand side. And there will also be some links in the Linkorama for you that will take you to her two websites to tell you more about what she does, who she is, and what she offers. So there you go. And I'm totally excited about it. This is going to be way cool, you guys. All right, here's another letter. Hi, Ruby. I look forward to your podcast, and I just want to say the way you communicate is seriously like a conversation with a good friend who you can tell anything to. I'm about your age and only recently allowed myself to admit what I wanted sexually. I've always been frustrated. Somehow I ended up with men so opposite of me and so vanilla, they had a hard time fucking my ass or even something mild like spanking. A lovely, sexy younger man and I have been texting forever. We met up 3 times and slowly approached ass play. He's down for anything I want, and I feel the same way. I don't know how most men feel about older women. I'm 15 years older, but everyone thinks I'm at least 10 years younger than I am. He's frankly the man I've always dreamed I'd be with and had given up on ever finding. This last time I performed rimming and he kind of died. He's been craving being taken for apparently always, and he vacillates between asking me to go slow and be sweet and give him lots of practice first when we get started again, and desperately wanting me to just force him down and take him. I think he's so anxious, he isn't sure he can contain himself, but scared as shit I will actually do it. Honestly, I'm game for either, and would never just take him unless he was certain it's what he wanted. I think perhaps his confusion is holding him back. He feels such secret thoughts. I believe it's attached to thinking about being thought of as gay. He's a pretty guy, you know? I think maybe he had an issue with this when he was younger. I don't know if he's even told another woman about this, if he has and they bailed, but he says his ass was untouched before me. Have you come across a man in this kind of fear? Craving so badly, has a woman totally smitten with him and ready to sexually fulfill his every desire, yet so frightened it is taking him forever to show up for it? When he's been over, he said he was so glad and anxious to come back. He does suffer from anxiety, I might add. So next thing. One of your emails talked about a man who has hemorrhoid issues. I have a bizarre stomach malady that gives me the same. It's something I feel anxious about, as it's not, you know, attractive, and he is totally into ass play. So am I, more than any other acts. Anyway, by accident I discovered a yoni steam. Not only is beneficial to my lady parts, but also to my ass. In one steam, the burning was gone, and the one protruding hemorrhoid I had shrank. I thought, why aren't guys doing this? I work at a spa where we offer this service. After some research, I spoke with the owners, and we are now offering A-steams, anal steams for men. It's the same, just different name. If you have guys who have this issue, I can't recommend highly enough. Plus, it feels kind of delicious. It's not offered that many places, but if someone is inventive and looks online into yoni steams at home, they can order the herbs and learn how to do it. The herbs are antiseptic and healing as well as tightening and are good for prostate care, among other health issues. Lastly, I have the beautiful Bella harness that I can't wait to wear with him. I've worn it around the house just to feel the weight, and oh my, I'm so turned on I can barely stand it. My question is this. The O-ring is supposed to accommodate different sizes. I know I'll need a small size toy, and I have one as well as a couple of other sizes, purchased from the Pure Silicone individually made company in England. Can't remember their name. You've mentioned. But I don't know how to get a smaller one to stay in. As there are no instructions, I'm a bit lost. The one that fits is too thick girth-wise for him right off. How can you adjust for a smaller toy that is, yes, made for a harness? I'm thinking, too, I need another beginner option. I want to have things there for him when he can come over. I like the idea of the velvet fuse, but from the description, it is more of an intermediate size. Since he's made an issue of saying he's concerned about pain and that he's super tight, I don't want to freak him out. I know that it doesn't have to be painful. I listen regularly and have watched videos on massage for pre-pegging, and of course know what it feels like without a prostate, so it's not going to be really an issue. But I want a smaller girth, too, to make him feel secure and comfortable. Okay, one more I haven't heard you discuss. This last time we had a sexting date, he mentioned wishing I could come inside of him. Can you recommend a good shooting toy? I know it wouldn't be used right away, so it could be larger girth-wise, but I wouldn't want huge. I suspect it's going to take him a while to work up, even as I know he wants to. Ruby, I had never considered I'd be here dying to strap on a faux cock, and just the idea of it disappearing into the man I'm crazy for makes me dizzy. The way he brought it up hit such a chord. I instantly knew it was what I'd been missing. I hope that more of your listeners find someone like me, who frankly wants it as much as they do, and like you. But like you've said before, it's not just anyone. I want this side of myself to come even more alive. But I'd only want to share this with a man I truly care about and I'm so drawn to. Your advice to look for a woman you fit with, not a woman to peg you, is dead on. If the woman is open-minded, you might have just found your dream girl. Now let's all take a minute to imagine him conquering his fear long enough to get his hot ass in my waiting bed. I can't wait to write and ask for the music. Love to you, Ruby. You're amazing. Kitty. Kitty, wow, that's a whole bunch of stuff. Okay, I'm scrolling back here. Let's start off with your first question. Your first question was about the really going slow. So, anxiety can absolutely be part of that. And if he suffers from anxiety anyway, that can compound the whole issue. So whatever you guys do to relax, whether it's get a massage, maybe even give him a blowjob first and let him come first. And then after he's sort of come down from that, you might try doing some anal stimulation. Because the anticipation of it sometimes is really what can be the issue and bring on the anxiety. Also, a really good idea, even though he may not be down for this, but self-play would be an excellent idea for this man, because that at least will help him let go of any anxiety he might feel about whether it's going to be painful or that kind of thing. And I'm going to put a link to a recording that I made, and it's a piece of writing that I did as reassurance for the men. I suspect part of his anxiety might be coming from just the whole taboo thing and the way that society looks at this and the way that other men would look at him if they knew he enjoyed this. That whole gay thing. Oh my gosh. It's so ridiculous. I've said this before and I will keep saying it. I so look forward to the time when if a man says, I'm totally into pegging, and another guy goes, oh dude, that's gay. The first man will look at the second man and say, and? Because, so? It's a different sexual orientation. It's a preference. It's not a negative. It's not a bad thing. It's a difference. So anyway, all of those things may be affecting him emotionally, and that could be where some of that anxiety is coming from. So yeah, self-play would be a really, really good idea, just with small stuff. I'm going to jump to your other question right now. You mentioned you wanted another backup dildo. So interesting that you should mention the Fuse Velvet, because I was on the Entice Me website just the other day, and I sent a message to Tiffany that two things needed to be changed. She does actually have the Velvet Fuse described as an intermediate toy, and it is totally not. It's totally beginner toy. In fact, it's a small beginner toy. Most people in the beginning can take an inch and a quarter in diameter, no problem. If someone has anxiety or is tight in that area for whatever reason, the inch is a better idea. So the Velvet would be perfect. And I also noticed that the Fuse Harmony says it's for advanced. No, it's not. It's for beginners because it's an inch and a quarter. So there you go. Those are going to be changed on the website soon, but sorry to mislead you. The Fuse Velvet would be perfect. I mean, you seem to have a real good sense of the foreplay and all that kind of thing. But if it was me, I would spend a lot of time just massaging that whole area over and over again during sexy times until finally he relaxed a little bit, because it's his timeline that you need to pay attention to here. If there's anxiety and concern and fears, then you don't want to power through those. And I'm, you know, you get that. I can tell from reading your letter. So yeah, I'll put the link to the Fuse Velvet as well as the We Vibe Tango Mini Vibe that fits into it. And the hemorrhoid issues. This is such a cool thing to know. I had no idea there was such a thing as yoni steams. I didn't have a clue. But I'm not that much of a spa person because I don't have that much money to go to a spa. Plus, I don't work at one. Long time ago when I did massage and worked at spas doing massage and was still splitting my fee with people, which I don't do at all anymore, I never heard of a yoni steam. Goodness sakes, they're doing all kinds of stuff now. Now, it doesn't surprise me that this is really good for hemorrhoids, because what hemorrhoids actually are is a lack of circulation in the area. So if you're steaming it, well, you're warming things up and you're bringing all kinds of awesome circulation to the area as well. So thank you for sharing that information, because I'm sure it'll be helpful to somebody. And now I want to go get a yoni steam, man. That's so awesome. Okay, let's see. The Bella Harness. So here's the deal with the smaller toys. Since you're dealing with a fabric harness that has a sewn-in O-ring, then you can't change the size of that because it's not interchangeable. So I get that what's happening here is you've got a smaller diameter toy. That's a very easy fix because they sell this foam ring that basically provides stability for the smaller toys when they're in there. And so what you're going to do is take the dildo and stick it through the little hole of the ring and then put it in the harness, and that holds it just perfectly. It stabilizes those smaller toys since that O-ring isn't as small as it could be, and you know, you want it bigger because eventually you're going to go up to the bigger toys. So I'll put a link for that as well. And let's see here. Yes, a shooting toy. Absolutely, I have information about a shooting toy. As a matter of fact, I did an interview with a woman who designed the shooting toy for her lesbian wife, who she impregnated. Ha ha! So, I'm going to put a link to that interview, and I'm also going to put a link to the dildo itself. It's called the Pop Dildo. The diameter of the Pop Dildo is 1.65 inches. So it is something that he will have to work up to, but what a fun goal to have, especially if he likes the idea of that whole coming inside him thing. That is freaking awesome. So the link to that will be in the Linkorama. And yes, I'm right there with you, sweetie, imagining him conquering his fear long enough to get his hot ass in your waiting bed. I so enjoyed reading this because yes, there are other women out there who are as enthusiastic about pegging as I am, and I delight in receiving letters from you women like that. And Kitty, you are absolutely one of them. Thank you so much for the letter. Let us know how it all goes, and I know you're going to let us know when it's time to play the music for you and your hot guy. Hey, let go of that age thing, too. I love younger men. And you know what? It's just a number, and I know that that's like the cliche thing, but it really doesn't. It's all a matter of how you two match up and what it's like. And I know couples where there's even more of an age gap, and they've been together way long term. So yeah, take a deep breath and try and let that one go, and have fun. Enjoy that man. It sounds like you already are. Okay, here's my next letter. So this one is titled Mr. Softy Surprise. I'm so excited and had to share. My husband and I adore our pegging adventures, and he has mentioned on occasion how hot it would be to see me packing a cock during the day. Well, my Mr. Softy arrived in the mail yesterday, and just in time. We are leaving for Key West tomorrow, and I can't think of a better place to sport my new package. After experimenting with different undies to keep my new friend in place, I've come to find that they make a silky sport-type panty for women. Perfect. I didn't want to wear my regular harness while out and about, as it's leather and would probably be uncomfortable in the Florida heat. These briefs are absolutely perfect and look so damn sexy holding my new buddy. I have a hard time keeping my hands off my newfound package hiding in these silky sport shorts. Anywho, I'm looking forward to my husband's delighted expression when he discovers my new day wear. I'll keep you posted. Mr. Softy, I'm pretty sure that's from the New York Toy Collective, if I'm not mistaken. It's one of the packers that they offer. So how fun. I'm just really fascinated by this whole packing thing. I mean, for me, there's the element of functionality in the whole packing thing. When you have the real soft ones that really look like a flaccid cock, a lot of times they are not functional. And I think the Mr. Softy ones aren't. Let me go to the website and I'll be right back. Haha, so after checking, what I find is that no, Mr. Softy is not sold by the New York Toy Collective. They have some amazing packers, but they're 100% silicone, and Mr. Softy is actually made by Fleshlight. And it's really, really inexpensive, and it's made of an elastomer type of gel. It's not silicone, so you got the budget model, but it sounds like you are quite happy with the feel of that in your satiny shorts that hold it just in the right place. It was a great description. I really enjoyed hearing about it, and I want to hear how the rest of that evening went when you get a chance. You know, we went off to Key West, and I would like to hear some Mr. Softy stories, how that particular piece of equipment inspired you and your husband. Thank you so much for sharing that story. Can't wait to hear the rest of it. Oh, and the person who wrote this is called The Girl Next Door. So she's the girl next door on the forum. And I wanted to read you a couple more things that she wrote, because in her introduction, she wrote this. Hello, so wonderful to find you fabulous guys and dolls. Just a little info. I'm a 50-plus-year-old woman, happily married to a husband, that's very willing to partake in pegging, parentheses, his favorite, and explore new and fun ways to please one another. After a battle with prostate cancer, my husband is back on his game and moving full speed ahead in the pegging action. Life is good and even more exciting than before. I'm looking forward to your posts, tips, and wonderful stories. Peace. So this is fascinating to me because as some of my listeners who have been with me for a long time recall, some time back, I did get a question from a woman whose husband was going to be having surgery for prostate cancer, and I believe that he decided on the prostatectomy. I'm not really sure, but anyway, the question was there. It's like, okay, is there pegging after prostate cancer? What I did was I sought out somewhere where I knew that there would be someone who would have a story to tell in that regard, and that is the Aneros Forum. I recalled coming across something like that, and sure enough, I found the guy, and he was willing to share his story. I seem to recall that he chose to have some type of focused radiation as opposed to an entire prostatectomy. I can't really recall. Maybe he had the prostatectomy, but it was a special method that hoped to preserve the nerves. And what I recall about that was that one of the things he mentioned was that there was such an intimacy with the act of pegging that even if he only felt it about 60% as much pleasure as he used to feel, still it was a lovely way to connect with his wife. Anyway, this caught my eye because I am always looking to add to the knowledge base here. So I wrote her back and said, "Welcome to the forum. Thanks for sharing your details with us. I'm curious about your husband's battle with prostate cancer, since I've had this question asked before. So I'm curious to what his journey was like. Would love to hear if he's willing to share." She writes back, "Of course, I'd love to share our experience with my husband's bout with prostate cancer. After the diagnosis, everything sexual came to an abrupt halt. My husband did not undergo a prostatectomy, but months of radiation and testosterone blocking shots. As you can well imagine, the lack of testosterone totally slammed his libido. That wasn't the worst of it. The radical radiation caused him pain, rawness, and bleeding in his rectum, so you can well imagine pegging was the last thing on his mind. It was at least a year and a half before the love of my life experienced his first morning hard-on. Yes, there is love and backdoor fun after cancer. Go slow, be patient, listen to your lover's cues as to when he is ready. I'm happy to say that we are back in the saddle and enjoying life and sex once again. I'm going to go one step further and say sex is even better than it was before cancer. Why? I'm so grateful we made it through this horrible disease. Please feel free to ask me anything you'd like with regard to our experience. That was so lovely to hear. I know that not all of these procedures turn out that way. And I suppose that one of the things that I wanted to offer up is a positive story. Who knows what the percentages are about things like this? Again, you know, anything pegging oriented, nobody has studied this, which was why it was fascinating to me to talk with the guy at the Eneros Forum and hear his estimation that initially I believe he said he only had about 20-30% as much pleasure in that area with pegging, but that it eventually grew to about 60%, and perhaps that's the nerves repairing themselves and everything settling down. It's hard to know. But this is a lovely story about really getting back into it. You didn't measure it in terms of percentages, but it sounds like it's going absolutely wonderful. And I also loved hearing the part about that he woke up with his first morning hard-on a year and a half later. That's absolutely something else that gets affected with prostate cancer, is erectile dysfunction, and there is a fair amount of that. But I hear with a decent amount of men that eventually that goes away, and they are able to have erections again. So it's all such a puzzle. And yes, it is a horrible disease. Absolutely. So thank you for sharing all of that. I really appreciate it. And if anybody has any questions, I'd be happy to direct them to the girl next door. I appreciate your openness to share your husband's experience and thank him for us as well. So the last thing I'm going to talk about is I was driving along in my car, and just for something different to do, I turned on AM radio and hit search and cruised along and scanned the channels to see if I could find some kind of talk radio thing, right? And I found a woman who was called Wendy Walsh, I think her name is, and she's written a few books and things, and she was talking about a study that was done that talked about how long you wait before you have sex in a relationship. Now, the one thing I have to give this woman credit for is that she differentiated between a relationship, a monogamous exclusive relationship, and looking for someone to spend the rest of your life with, and just doing the no strings attached friends with benefits thing. And she didn't put down the second one. She said, you know, she differentiated between the two, but one of the studies that she was quoting showed that if you don't have sex for the first 30 days, the percentages of relationships that last, how long is it supposed to last? A year, 10 years, the rest of your life? I'm not sure how they measured that. But the point being, it turned into a longer-term relationship if you managed to get through the first 30 days and you wait and you don't have sex first. And she was talking about becoming friends with someone and intellectually getting to know them, emotionally getting to know them before you have intimacy and sexual intimacy with them. So one of the things that she did talk about as well is establishing a friendship and good communication so that when you do have sex, you can have all the really important conversations that you need to have. But what totally brought me up short is, so she's on this subject about communication and how important it is. And she said, you know, when people don't have these conversations and they're too afraid to open up their mouth and ask for what they want and talk about sex, not just what they want, but what are we doing here in terms of, is this just going to be a one-night stand? Is this just going to be a short-term thing, or is it a long-term thing, or, you know, what are you looking for, what am I looking for, that kind of thing? She said when people don't have those conversations, that's why the STD rate has gone through the roof lately. And I went, what? Okay, communication's really, really important. And if you are unable to open up your mouth and say, whoa, use a fucking condom, if you're the woman, or you are unable to open up your mouth and say no, even though you don't want me to use a condom, I'm going to use one anyway. I mean, that's just common sense about, you know, safe sex that prevents the spread of disease. I would like to suggest to Wendy Walsh that there are some other much, much more important factors. Communication is huge, right? How do you learn good communication? You have comprehensive, accurate, pleasure-based sex education available for all young people when they hit puberty. That's what you have. When that is taught in the schools, and there's a lot of controversy about teaching it in the schools, I totally get that there are some people whose religious beliefs or cultural beliefs prohibit that type of conversation unless it is amongst family members, and they can always opt out of that type of education. But when this has been done, and you know, it's funny because I say when this has been done, I don't think there's ever been one that's been pleasure-based, and that's the sad part of it, is that what they get taught is how to put a condom on, you know, whether it's the banana or whatever, how to put a condom on, what diseases you can catch. So you're basically teaching fear, fear, fear. Don't get a disease and don't get pregnant. Those are the two things you learn. And they just try and scare the crap out of you so that ideally you don't have sex. Well, okay, those are important things to know, but pleasure-based is also really important to balance that. Sex is a marvelous thing. We all love it. Why are we not teaching that this is a pleasurable thing? Especially females go into this not knowing that it's supposed to be something that feels really, really good sometimes, which is just fucking blows my mind. And when you do pleasure-based, then you start talking about the difference between the genders and the difference in approaches and how you do need to communicate about all of that. When that sex education is missing, and heaven knows there are not only states out there where sex education is not happening, there are states where sex educators are not allowed to demonstrate how to put a condom on well. In fact, I'm going to look it up and I'm going to find the video of this one teacher who's in one of these states that has this idiotic law that you can't do that, or rule. I don't know if it's a law, but who the fuck cares? He was so creative that he basically used putting on socks. He used putting on his socks and his foot as an example. And it's all related. It's funny the way he did it. It's just hysterical and it's genius, because the school prevented him from actually giving a demonstration of how to put it on. Now, when I say giving a demonstration, of course, not whipping it out and putting it on its fucking cock. So any of you people out there that are going, whoa, she really thinks that's... No, 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 no. The banana works fine, people. The zucchini probably works fine too, whatever. But to not even be able to show kids how to do it? Oh my God, that's really scary. So coming full circle back around here, no, the reason that the STD rate is through the fucking roof is because sex education has been slashed and the abstinence-only thing is happening, and they're not giving kids nearly enough information to not only protect themselves and to have safe sex, but to enjoy themselves when they do. Oh man, I have a lot of strong feelings about this. So any of you out there that have teenagers, and maybe you're like me, I didn't know how to talk to my daughter about sex, but I did the next best thing. I gave her a book. It was called Sex is Fun, which is an awesome graphic novel book by Kidder Caper. And then I sent her to Scarlet Teen. Now we can talk about anything, anything at all. But back then, I was trying to break the chains because, and what I mean by that is, okay, what was done to me? What was modeled to me? Well, what was modeled to me was, no, we didn't talk about sex at all. I think my oldest sister read me some weird book about how babies are born. That's it. Well, you know what? Okay, that's how fucking babies are born. But how much information is there that really needs to be communicated to young people so that they can more successfully and more joyfully navigate their path through puberty, through having sex for the first time, through their first few relationships. These are the subjects we need to be having at school. And that whole thing about, oh, that's going to, you know, make all the kids have sex sooner, that hasn't been shown to be true. It really hasn't at all. In fact, the states that have the most restrictive rules about what can be taught in sex education in the schools and stuff have the highest rates of teen pregnancy, sadly. And this has been shown over and over and over again. And the abstinence-only education stuff? Oh, that just makes things worse. It's like such a sex-negative way to look at things. It's like, you know, this is too scary for us. We don't want you to have sex. We're really sex negative, so let's just pretend this doesn't exist, and let's just teach, just don't do it. And some of the stuff that they teach is so awful. Like, you know, do you want to be like chewed gum? That's what you're like if you've already had sex. And of course, so much of this falls so hard on the females, because still, even if they don't talk about it this way, still, that double standard exists of if you're a female and you have a lot of sex, then you're loose and you're slutty and you're indiscriminate. If you're a man and you have a lot of sex, you're a ladies' man and you're experienced and you fucking rock. So that is lessening. I would like to, to close this rant out and tell Wendy Walsh also, before I go on to this next thought, tell Wendy Walsh that no, it's the sex education that needs to change, because that is where the subjects come up. That is where you are taught how to communicate and what subjects are important to communicate about before you have sex. Ideally, this is what sex education should teach. It should be one of the many things about sexuality that we teach kids about so that they can make good choices and they know how to protect themselves and they also know how to have fun. So, going back to that double standard about sexual experience, the word slut has been being reclaimed as a good thing. And, you know, if there is any kind of negative connotation for someone who is really sexually active, I propose this thought. The person who is really sexually active, who is honest with all parties involved, does not lie and say anything that the other person wants to hear just so that they can have sex with them, and practices safe sex, they're awesome. They're just a sexually active person, but they're acting with integrity and honesty. The person who does the opposite of all that and doesn't practice safe sex and lies to people about their intentions and says anything that they think the other person wants to hear just so that they will have sex with them and is not open with them about multiple partners and how active they are sexually, those are the people that really deserve a bad name. I mean, you know, if you want to keep the negative connotation of slut, those are the sluts. But I'm really on board with this reclaiming the idea of slut being a cool thing. I think slut is just a really sexually active, sexually connected person who enjoys having a lot of sex and good sex and wants to explore it and is very sex positive. Yes, that is the positive manifestation of the word slut, I think. But please, all you people out there with teenagers, do me a favor and make sure that they learn about sex. And yeah, it may not be a real comfortable thing. It wasn't for me. Like I said, I got a book for my daughter because I didn't know how to talk to her. It's like I opened up my mouth and I didn't even know what to say. There's no good modeling around that. But if nothing else, please send them to scarletteen.com. That is actually where it goes when you come to the age verification place on my website and it says, you know, are you 18? And then it says, no, get me out of here, right? And if you click that one, it will take you to Scarlet Teen. But I'm going to go ahead and put it in the Linkorama anyway. It's an awesome resource for young people, and it is managed largely by young people. So it's their peers that are sharing information. And that's such a good place to learn about the basics, if you're curious. Because I would imagine that very few of you who are listening were modeled what you would really like your kids to have in terms of learning about sex, being comfortable with it, learning about relationships and that kind of thing. Break the chain. Start doing something different. So you'll find that link in the Linkorama. And one last thing about the STD rate, Wendy Walsh. Here's something that's really interesting. So for a small period of time, the state of Rhode Island accidentally legalized sex work. It was kind of an oversight. There was some loophole in the law that made sex work legal. During the period of time when it was legal, guess what? STD rates went down dramatically. I'm going to link to that study, to that article, so you guys can take a look at that too. So if that's not the exact opposite of this whole chaste, you know, let's not have sex for 30 days, not that there's anything wrong with that. But the flavor of the rest of what she was talking about was quite conservative. I could only stay there so long, especially after that comment. That is correlation. That is not causation. There you have it. Okay, that's it for this time. You can find my work at peggingparadise.com, where I have my blog, my podcast, my erotica, and the forum. You can also go to pegging101.com, where I have informational articles only with no kink. My podcasts are available through a variety of podcast downloader apps, and you can find a sampling of those under the tab Follow on my website for both Android and iPhones. You can also stream my podcast directly from my website if you want to. The Follow tab also has links for you to subscribe to my blog, follow me on Twitter, and check out my Facebook page. If you end up ordering some amazingly sexy new toys from enticeme.com, please remember to use that coupon code WRITER for 15% off of your purchase. Send your questions to ruby@peggingparadise.com. No question is too, off the cuff, this is tough. I almost always stop the recording right here and I think of three words because I love alliteration so much. Three words with the same consonant in the beginning. So let's do an off-the-cuff thing. Let's do P. There, no question is too... And I'm hitting a total fucking blank here. All right, I'm going to change it. I'm going to make it T. No question is too taxing, too toxic, or too technical. Oh, my listeners are going to learn along with you, and a lot of times so do I, so please don't be shy. Throw those questions in my mailbox, or you can call me, 805-500-6544. Thank you all for downloading and listening, everybody. You rock. Happy pegging.